Man, that hymn today, that's an oldie, huh? But it has power in it. It really does. You know, back in the, that is one of those hymns that's just timeless. I mean, it's a popular hymn. It was so popular back in the 1950s that it was in five, the top five hymnals had that hymn in it. And as hymnals come and go, that song remains constant in every one of them. And I love the fact that we were able to do the Matt Redman version as well. And so in this series that we've been doing where we look at the hymns, what we try to do is show both sides of it, show how these hymns can be adapted into a contemporary version that and still not lose their emphasis and meaning. You guys seeing that? What is it about the blood? You know, back in the early days, you weren't considered a preacher worth your salt if you didn't stand in a place like this and preach about the blood of Christ. Today, not so much. You don't hear many preachers speaking about the blood of Christ, the blood of the Lamb. Blood makes us squeamish, right? I mean, you guys like to see your own blood. None of you? I've seen my blood more times than I care to imagine. Remember, and I got the scars to prove it. Matter of fact, my wife gets squeamish at a paper cut. There's been times that I have cut myself, and she literally, I'm like, hold the Band-Aid still. She's like this, and I'm trying to guide my wound into the bandage. Hold it steady, baby. All right. Nah, I'm kidding, man. My wife's good to me, man. She's becoming actually a regular Florence Nightingale. I've cut myself so many times around her. But the blood, when we talk about blood, it becomes a little more controversial. People think of that hymn right there, and they hear is the blood hymns. You guys familiar with the term blood hymns? Blood hymns are the hymns that speak about the cleansing blood of Christ. Power, wonder working power in the prayer. Come on, you know it, sing along. Don't leave me hanging. But we don't sing those anymore. A lot of people don't sing those anymore because they find them offensive. It's like, what is it about the blood that makes it so hard to talk about, especially the blood of Christ? And so that's where we're going to go today. We've been walking through this series called being guided by the hymns, and we started out with this thing called Give Up. And then Look Up, and we talked about Turn Your Eyes to Jesus. Last week we looked at Give Up, and we talked about Amazing Grace. This week we're going to talk about wash up, about cleansing. And so we use this hymn, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus, to kind of set the tone for us. And it comes from the book of Hebrews, verse 9:22. And that's going to be the focal of our teaching today. But I also want you to go into your passage in your text today. And I also want you to mark out 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. That's the one of them three little books in the back. So if you want to find that, you just go back, kind of flip through the maps, and you'll run into 1 John. But mark 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, and then also mark Hebrews 9:22. I'm going to put them on the screen because I'm going to use a couple of different translations today. So if you'll... Before we pray, can I just tell you something? I want to confess this to you. I learned as much from studying for this sermon than I have in a lot of sermons. But because the blood is talking about the blood. It's a deep subject. And so I'm excited to talk about this today because I learned so much about this and how such an important symbol it is to the Christian faith. So let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we're going to jump into Hebrews chapter 9, and go from there. Father God, Lord, we come before you today thanking you, Lord, for the shed blood of Christ. Sometimes, Lord, when I read through the scriptures and I see John the Baptist standing there saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God," it doesn't really set in motion for me, Lord, until we see him going to the cross for us. It is then and only then do we truly understand what the blood of the Lamb is. So, God, we thank you for his blood, and we thank you, Lord, for him sacrificing himself for our sins and the shedding of his blood, Lord, that atones for those sins, Lord, that offers forgiveness, Lord, and redemption and reconciliation. Lord, I know we come to church today, and all those people that are going to be watching to us and listening to us later, Lord, they're trying to put their stuff behind them today as well. And so, Lord, as we come before you today, Lord, we want the blood of the Lamb poured across us, Lord, to cleanse us of our unrighteousness, so that we can receive exactly what you have for us today. God, we thank you. We love you. Now we ask, Lord, that you give us a heart of flesh, Lord, to receive the wonderful word that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 9. I'm going to give you the three things I'm going to try to lay out for us today. The first off, I'm going to talk about the importance of the blood. The second, I'm going to talk about what the cleansing blood is. And then finally, we're going to truly talk about the blood of the Lamb. So under the importance of blood, we're going to jump into Hebrews chapter 9. And I'm only going to read the first part of this. And it says, in verse 22 says, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified by the blood." Let's just stop right there. Do you think we take the blood for granted? I'm asking this seriously. Do you think that we take the blood for granted? I mean, the only time that I really think about the blood is usually when it's coming out of a wound on my body. Right? Usually the only time we think about the blood is when we've got a medical test fixing to come up, right? Or in my case, where the gauze is. I'm a bleeder. God, I'm sorry. I'm a bleeder. But let me give you, you guys like anatomy? Anybody going to be on Jeopardy anytime soon? No? Well, if you are, pay attention, take notes. Give you an anatomy lesson. The blood, right? It's referred to as the red life fluid of humans and animals. Simple, right? The blood carries oxygen to our organs, but it also carries waste from our organs. It carries the waste that's in our bloodstream. It goes to our lungs, our kidneys, through our liver. It's an important source of everything that flows through us. If we don't have the blood, nothing in this body works, right? But we take that for granted. Sometimes I think that we come under the impression that our bodies don't live so we can make blood. Does that make sense? Our bodies don't live so we can make blood, but our bodies make blood so we can live. I heard a story about a pastor who went to a blood drive, and he didn't come home right away. And the little son, the little boy, he's asking his mom, he's like, Mom, where's Dad? He's supposed to be home by now. And she says, "Honey, he's out giving blood." He says, "Well, Mom," he says, "we all know it's really grape juice." (Laughter) The Bible teaches us, man, and God's word, it teaches us that the blood has such importance. Let's go all the way back. Let's think back all the way to Adam and Eve when they sinned. The first thing that shed blood, God shed the blood of an animal because they had covered themselves up in a fig leaf, and God knew that that wasn't going to be good enough for them, so he slaughtered one of his animals to make clothes for them before he sent them out into the world. It's the first example we see of blood as a protection. That the shedding of the blood uses protection. Then let's move forward a little farther and go to Israel being enslaved by Egypt for 400 years, right? They had this relationship with Egypt, and God says enough's enough. And so he says, if you shed the blood of the lamb and you put it on the lintels and the doorpost, he says, I'm going to send an angel of death, and it's going to pass over you if it sees the blood. Example. First example of how the blood saves. Then we see the tabernacle being built. We see the tabernacle being built, and it was the blood that was splashed on the mercy seat. And it was only through the blood that the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies. It was the blood that consecrates. But it was also the blood that sealed the covenant between man and God. Let me take you all the way back. Let's go back to where Moses came down from the mountain, and he went up there to get God's law, and he came back down, and there was a party going on. And he smashed the tablets. And he was furious, and he got fed up. God called him back to the mountain. And gave Moses another set of laws. And he came back down and he built an altar. And he made a covenant between God and Israel. Let me read you to you what it says in Exodus chapter 24. It says this. It says, and Moses took blood and he threw it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with these words. Have you ever wondered about that blood of the new covenant that we talk about when communion? Here's the original covenant right here. You see, God had given Moses these laws, and Moses had come down, and in order to receive the commandments, he had to take this oath to God, and so he built an altar, and he made a sacrifice, and he splashed the blood on the altar, and then he turned around and he splashed the blood on the people, and that sealed the covenant between God and Israel, the first covenant. But you know what else is in that story? In that story, after this happens, I encourage you to go back and read some of this Old Testament stuff. It's awesome. In that moment, when all this takes place, listen to what Scripture says. It says, Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders got to commune with the God of Israel. They got to commune with God. And it says this, he says, they saw God and they ate and drank in one of the most powerful of all human experiences. You see the blood of God, the blood of the shed blood? The blood allows us into the presence of God. So the blood's important. It's important beyond just what's running through our veins. We have to understand the importance of this blood. Before we can talk about what the cleansing aspects of it are. So let's now talk about the cleansing blood. Let's go back to Hebrews, and I'm going to read the whole passage. This time I'm going to read it from God's Word translation. And it says, as Moses' teachings tell us, the blood was used to cleanse almost everything. Because if no blood is shed, no sins can be forgiven. The Old Testament, there's three things that cleanse: fire, water, and the blood. On the back of your program, up in the corner, right, is that little thing that where I put the sermon notes on here. If you go there and you shoot that with you, and you take that QR code, I have a whole list of passages in there that talk about the cleansing fire, the cleansing water. I give you all that information, and then you have some questions to reflect upon. So I give you the information so that you can understand the importance of these other aspects of being cleansed. You see, we talk about ceremonial cleansing here. See, the water was used to cleanse. The You know those cats that Jesus was always dinging on, the Pharisees? You know, they had like so many ways to wash. I mean, seriously, they had to wash before that. Y'all do wash your hands before you eat, right? Thank you. You do, right? Pharisees, no. They wash your hands before they. That seems like a good thing. They also had ceremonial hand washing where they would take like eggshells and they would only be able to pour it in like one palm and then they would have to rub. That's why they got so upset when they were like looking at the disciples, man, and they're grubbing. They're like, man, Jesus, your buds didn't even wash your hands before they ate. The other greatest example of cleansing water was the foot water that Jesus turned into wine. Right? Big jugs of foot water. According to the prophet Wikipedia, washing must have take place before and after eating a meal with bread upon waking in the morning after using the toilet. It's not me. I don't own this one. Before eating raw vegetables in a specific order according to the Passover meal, and they had to wash their hands before they prayed. On some of these occasions, the water must be poured from a cup. Others, not so much. Sometimes it was eggshells. And on some occasions, right? I can't even do that one. Let's go on to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was standing out there baptizing people, and he says, what? No, I baptize you in water. It was a thing that I'm cleansing you as long as you repent from sin. And then we know about the cleansing of the fire, right? We know about the fire. How many of y'all feel like you've been with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? How many of y'all with them right now? Just remember, man, when you're in the fire, Jesus is with you. And then we know of the cleansing fire of Malachi. Malachi talks about this. He says, who can endure the day of coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire. Because he will sit as a refiner, the purifier of silver, and he will purify and refine like gold and silver. The wonderful story about the lady in the Bible study who was trying to understand this passion. So she went to the silversmith, and he's watching, he's holding it in the fire. And he holds it at the certain pot, and he holds it at the center where it's the hottest. And she says, how do you know it's done? She says, when I see myself in it. When I see myself in the silver, then it's done. We have the cleansing blood. The blood was used for so much in the Old Testament. It was used for fellowship offerings. Used for guilt offerings. Most importantly, it was used for sin offerings. The blood was always to be poured, splashed, sprinkled on the altar before the tent of meeting. And then only once a year, man, the high priest would be able to go into the Holy of Holies, and he would have to go through the ceremonial cleansing, and then he would, have you guys ever heard of Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. I encourage you to read in Leviticus 16. Is that right? Leviticus 16? Where he talks about the Day of Atonement and all of the things that had to happen for the high priest or then to go into the Holy of Holies and take blood, and he would pour it on the mercy seat. It was a day that when God would reconcile all his people through the shedding of the blood. Listen to what it says. But you want to know here, listen to this. This is from the word of the Lord, and it is spoken to Israel. It says, for the life, this is Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, by the way. And I'm going to read it from the NIV. It says this, it says, for the life of a creature is in the blood. And I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. The cleansing blood sanctifies us. Wait. Hold on, preacher. I've been in church a long time. Isn't sanctification, isn't it this lifelong process? Yes, it is. It is a lifelong process. But it's also a part that consecrates us and sets us apart to be free from sin as well. That's why we have to have this cleansing blood. That's why we have to have the cleansing blood of the Lamb. I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 1 right now. And I'm putting verse 7 up there. I've got verses 9. I want you guys to keep in mind of verses 7 through 9. And this is, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Cleanses from all of our unrighteousness. Back in the day, there was this one preacher, man, who was a loudmouth. He didn't dress like everybody else. He wore shorts. And everybody else was wearing these awesome fine robes. Not this cat. And he was preaching a word that nobody else had been preaching. He's saying, repent and be baptized. And one day, he sees him walking and he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the one who had been foretold since the beginning. He is the one who Isaiah spoke of that would suffer for all of us. He is the one that would be led like a lamb to slaughter, uttering not a word. Jesus said, we should drink his blood. What? Not literally, but spiritually. You see, drinking his blood is our faith and belief in who he is and what he has done for us. See, in this symbolic and faith-filled act, we take into ourselves his life that was sacrificed for us. We take into us his punishment and we take into us his atonement. That sacrifice on the cross when he was lifted up and said, this will draw all men unto me. Jesus said it would be his blood that would be poured out as a ransom for many. And then a spear was plunged into his side. Jesus said it would be his blood that would establish a new covenant. And the cup representing that new covenant, a cup that we share in our communion with him. Every first Sunday of the month, we share a communion cup. And we accepting that his life has been poured out and we are reconciled to God and live in his grace as forgiven sinners. Because of his blood and because of his truth and because of our faith. We have been given this incredible, incredible gift that continually forgives us of our sin. And the best part about grace and this unmerited favor that we are given by God is that we don't have to ask for it. As a matter of fact, We don't have to ask. Listen to what it says here. It says in verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of our unrighteousness. If we just confess, if we're just willing to take the step and admit something that he already knows. Growing up in the South, you know, son, maybe you've heard this before. You know, this is going to go a lot easier on you if you just admit it. I promise you, your punishment won't be as severe if you just confess to me and tell me the truth. For the most part, my punishment was lighter. How about y'all's? But we were still punished. We were still punished. When we go before Christ and the shed blood that covers us, our sins are forgiven. But God, he says, if you confess your sins, I will make you holy, not punish you. That's what it said. If we confess our sins, he is just and right to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means he's going to make us holy, not that we're not already. And he'll do this because the shed blood of his son was offered up as a sacrifice for everyone. Amen? Tony, you about ready to start this? I know these people are all hungry. Right? You are, aren't you? You guys ought to be proud of me. I'm only preaching from like 6 pages today. Normally, well, that's because I'm getting used to my glasses and now the print's smaller, so I've got actually more writing with smaller pages. I'm going to put a verse up on the screen. Romans 5:8. It said, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. That's part of the Roman road, right? And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. You know, inside of each one of us, we have this thing called human nature. Right? You guys familiar with human nature? Human nature was born out of the sin and transgression of Adam taking that first bite. And so we sin. We sin. We repent. He forgives. And then what do? Sin again. And we get caught up in this endless cycle. Sin, repent, forgiveness, and sin again. And in this process, we finally realize that we really, that there's this power inside of us that draws us to sin. And so we get stuck in this endless cycle. Over and over and over. But can I ask you guys a question? Do we really not want more than just forgiveness? Shouldn't we want deliverance? Shouldn't we want deliverance of sin? I mean, we absolutely need forgiveness for what we've done. But we need deliverance for who we are, sinners. You see, the cross is where we go to find forgiveness, but it's in the blood we find deliverance. The blood of the Lamb was shed for the redemption of Israel, and it is in the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that we find atonement. The blood was shed for the sin of mankind. And nothing can wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.